the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, you are the rock on which I will build my church. And just when Peter thought he got it all right, the very next passage of Scripture goes something like this. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him and said, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their crosses and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their souls? And that word should be translated as souls. Or what will they give in return for their soul? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of the Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. May God bless the reading, the hearing, the understanding, but particularly the living of this word. Just when we thought we got it right, right? Peter, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter, I shall build my church upon you. The next thing is Peter saying, no, you can't do what you're saying you're going to do. He just told God what to do. Not a good idea. Jesus says, Satan, get thee behind me. You're a stumbling block now. I mean, in the space of 2 minutes, people. Less than 100 words. Less than 50 words. We go from Peter being the rock on which he will build the church to Peter being Satan. How can that be? Well, look at your own life. I'm thinking that there's some here. They may be sitting more toward this side of the church, and they may be more toward the back of the church today, but not all the way in the back. That out of their mouths come wonderful things 1 minute, and then out of their mouths come terrible things to the minister the next minute. We have the capacity to do the most holy things for God and have God just say, oh, wow, you're the greatest kids I ever had. And then we have the capacity to be idiots before God. And God says, stop that right now. I still love you, though. The good news is God loves us no matter what. The good news is Jesus still loved Peter even though Peter was in trouble. Now, I want to talk for just a minute about the very ending of this passage before I tell you a story. The ending of that passage talks about the kingdom of God coming. And Jesus will come with his angels, and some people will see that before they die. They will see that happen. And people for years have been translating that as being the second coming. But that's not what this passage means. That's not what that part of that passage means. Jesus inaugurated the kingdom of God with his coming in human form. He said so. The kingdom of God is here. I am the way, the truth, the life. The disciples had just said, you are the Messiah. Well, Peter said it, but the disciples agreed. You are the Messiah, the Son of God, of the living God. And Jesus said, yes, but don't tell anybody yet. All of those things indicate that the kingdom of God on earth has already started. It's already begun. What hasn't happened is the ultimate culmination. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. He was saying to these people, you're going to see my resurrection, my death and my resurrection, and your everlasting hope before you die. Before a lot of you will still be living when this happens. And we have the wonderful experience of having it happen long ago, and yet we still sometimes don't get it, do we? He went to the cross. He suffered. He died. He was resurrected for all people in all generations, meaning us too. We're just like Peter. We see Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, but then sometimes we don't act like Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Sometimes we don't say the things we want to say or do the things that we know we should do or not do the things. Not too terribly long ago, there were two little boys who grew up being best friends. At one time they talked about becoming blood brothers, but they were both so scared of knives that they didn't do it. They were best friends. They were with each other every day. They were with each other at night. They were with each other at school. They were with each other when they played. They were together all the time. And anytime anybody else came into the mix, as long as they were nice to both boys, everything was fine. But anytime one boy was maybe being picked on, the other boy would stand up for him. Said, don't pick on my friend. That's not what Jesus told us to do. He said, be nice. Well, they were doing some good teaching. Several times, older boys, meaner boys, would come up and want to tease these two littler boys and younger boys. And those two boys would stand up for each other and say, no, no, no. You're being bad, bad, bad. Jesus says we're supposed to be nice to each other. This is my best friend. You don't be mean to him because Jesus will get you if you do. Well, they went around their hometown teaching everybody about what Jesus wanted them to do. And they grew up. They became teenagers. Both of them nice, young, handsome, athletic young men. And they were still best friends. Until one day, when new student Charlotte showed up at school. Both of the boys liked her. Both of the boys wanted to take her to the dance. Both of the boys tried to romance her without the other boy knowing, you know, what they were doing. All of a sudden, they weren't talking to each other as much. They were being secretive from one another. And all of a sudden, they weren't being as nice to each other, and they weren't hanging around together as much. And their mothers noticed. But it all came to the culmination when on the day when both boys had decided in their own minds that they were going to invite little Charlotte to the dance, and they both showed up at her house at the same time. One with pink flowers, one with purple flowers. Both of them were weeds, by the way, but you know. And they looked at each other. And boy, one said, ask her to the dance. I'm going to ask her to the dance. You're my best friend. You're supposed to let me do this stuff. And boy two said to boy one, who died and made you God? And they said, well, if you're going to do this, we're not going to be friends anymore. And they agreed that they weren't going to be friends ever, 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 ever again. And then they knocked on the door. And little Charlotte answered the door. And they both shoved the flowers right in her face. And they both said at the same time, will you go to the dance with me? And she stood back from the boys and said, no, I won't. I won't go with either of you. I don't like young men who don't treat each other like Jesus wants them to. You all were best friends, and now you're not acting like Jesus wants you to, so I won't go with either one. Slam. Well, boys, that young man, I guess I should say, sat down on the girls' porch steps. Boy one looked at boy two and said, boy, were we idiots. Boy two looked at boy one and said, you got that right. I should have brought her blue flowers. But they talked it out. And they decided that from then on, if one of them liked a girl, they'd talk about it. And you know what happened? Those two boys ended up marrying sisters. God, you are pretty great. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you. Thank you for moments that teach us that we are following your true path and proclaiming you Messiah. But thank you also for the moments in our lives when we get to learn once again that we're idiots. And that we are not following what you want us to do, and that we don't always understand your ways. That sometimes our own selfish needs get placed ahead of what you need from us. Lord, we ask you to guide us and direct us and help us love each other as Jesus wants us to, and to treat each other as Jesus wants us to. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is, He Touched Me. I pray that each one of you have known the touch of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you have not, I pray that you will open your heart and soul today and allow Him to touch you and make you whole. Let us stand and sing.